Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
All right, then, let's do this. This is the XS Manchester Football Social Full-Time Devils Takeover. My name is Guys Drinkwater. I'm your host tonight, joined in the studio by Massive Reds, Abdul and Sue. How are we doing, guys?
I'm all right. How are you doing, Gaz?
How are you doing, Sue?
I'm all right, Gaz, are you?
This isn't your first time on the Thursday nights, is it?
Just the second.
Second time on the Thursday nights, second, right. So, okay. Yeah. Relatively inexperienced, but not a debutante, necessarily. No. 0345 111 7625 if you want to get in touch with the show today. 877-11 as well if you want to drop us a text, or you can get us in the YouTube comments as well. We're all over them. Loads of stuff on the way on today's show before 8 o'clock. We're going to be talking about Rio Ferdinand being linked to the director of football job at Manchester United. Are the rumours, is there something concrete in it? We're going to get to the bottom of it next. Also, I've got a little YouTube comments game. I know everyone used to love the games that Joe used to do when he was on the show. Abdul is shaking his head. He's not agreeing. But I've got a YouTube comments game of my own on the way. And also celebrating against your old club. Is it normal? Is it fine to do? Do people just need to grow up about it? I think so, to be honest. Only one place we can start, though. This is the Full-Time Devils Takeover. And we are a Manchester United fans channel. So it's got to be Manchester United related, hasn't it? And it's all about Rio Ferdinand. And before we discuss Rio and whether he's going to be getting this director of footballers gig or not, can we first clear one thing up? Exactly what is a director of football? Abdul, help me out.
Oh, mate, I don't have a clue. I know, looking around Europe and sort of how it is at Ajax, Juventus, it's more than the director of football that you have above sort of the manager and that. It's you have your technical director. Sometimes it's technical director, not just and there's a director of football. Sometimes it's just one of them. Sometimes there's like the transfer guys alongside them. I don't know what you call them.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure this out in my own head. Am I right in thinking that when they say sporting director, that's the same as director of football, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it depends. Some clubs have... It's mental. Some clubs actually have one or two of whatever you call it, and some of them have one. And it's basically taking care of contracts, transfers. Usually they have someone alongside them working. To my knowledge, that's what it is. If you look at how sort of Ajax run it, I think Edwin van der Sar, I'm not particularly sure if he is the director, but he's more the business side of stuff. And then you got Overmars, who deals with the football. But they both understand, obviously, football, unlike Ed Woodward, so that's good.
This is what I was going to ask about Edwin van der Sar, because some people have said, oh, why don't we just go and get him? And I'm like, he's in a totally different job, isn't he? He's not even to do with the signing and selling of players. But in Rio's case, it's been reported that it will be purely to oversee transfers. So can I ask Sue, what does Rio know that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't in that respect?
Well, you tell me, because I don't think he knows anything about contracts or anything like that. He needs someone that's got a brain. Rio's obviously very good at football, but I'm not sure he's got a good brain to do contracts and that. And I'd say a director of football was somebody that knows about football, and leave Ed Woodward out of that, someone that can go and look round and see what players we want, sort contracts out. I don't think Rio Ferdinand's the right person. He could be a coach, an assistant coach or something, but not a director of football.
I was just looking at Edwin van der Sar. I think he's CEO.
Totally different.
And I think, and then you look at Overmars, who's more the football side of stuff. So I think what you can do with Rio Ferdinand is if you put Mike Field in there as a director of football, which it seems like a bit of a lazy option in a way. The understanding, though, of what's happening here is that they want someone that understands the club, who's worked with Sir Alex Ferguson and all that. Now, I'm actually with that. And a lot of people in my generation, they always argue against that. Why do you always have to use, you know, the players, the ex-players and all that around the club? I'm actually with the fact that you use players or, you know, anyone who worked alongside Sir Alex Ferguson in particular, because they understand how Alex Ferguson works, everything. Mike Phelan would have seen how Alex Ferguson delegated and, you know, given everyone a certain job around the club and what to do to run the club, because Sir Alex was running the club from top to bottom. You've got to understand, he was watching our under-10s play because he delegated, because he allowed Rennie and Mike Phelan to do what they liked, sort of. In training with the first team, he'd visit everyone, he'd understand what's going on around the club, and I think that's something we lack, and maybe Mike Phelan can bring that. Now, maybe Rio Ferdinand can be like the second guy who has a bit more of a connection with the players, which we lack right now. I think a lot of the players are concerned with what's happening.
I don't think Rio comes across as, like, Gary Neville's a bit more confident and seems to know what he's talking about. Rio doesn't.
Get close to your mic, Sue. Yeah. I love it. This is how lovely Sue is, by the way, right? We're in the studio, so no one can see us. Well, we can actually. We're on YouTube as well. But Sue actually is looking around the computer screen just so she can have eye contact with me while we're having a conversation. That's how polite Sue is, even though we're on the radio. Go on, okay. What were you saying then?
I think Neville's got more of the intelligence and the know-how. Rio, to me, doesn't. I don't know. He just doesn't come across articulate enough. And maybe I'm going to get a load of stick for this, but he just... No, it's a Gary Neville on a... What about... Why couldn't he be a director of football?
I don't know about that, because Rio Ferdinand, let's not forget, he is a great businessman. He has his, you know, his businesses that have done really well.
The Rio Ferdinand hats.
Yeah, but he'll have
they've done well because he's Rio Ferdinand, not because he's a brilliant businessman.
Yeah, he'll have PR people doing that for
probably.
Him, not... But he hasn't got a business brain.
You can just stick Jesse Lingard as director at this rate. He's doing all right with it.
Fair enough. All right, shot down. Fair enough. I get your point. Keith's on the phone. Keith, welcome to the show. What do you think about Rio Ferdinand being linked to the Manchester United director of football job?
Can you hear me,
Yeah, I can hear you, Keith.
Can I hear you?
Right. I think it will be the right decision, personally. You see what Ajax have done. Their director of football is Mark Overmars, isn't it? And he had no experience whatsoever before that. So to have Rio Ferdinand as director of football, to have club legends there who will actually care for the club, and rather than having experienced people, I'd rather have club legends who really would do anything for this club. Personally,
it's very interesting that, Keith, what you say about Mark Overmars then. So why do you think it is necessarily more important for us to get someone like Rio Ferdinand, who understands the ethos of the club and is obviously a club legend, like you say, than someone who's been around the world and done this job at various different places?
I just heard that you said that he's a great businessman, and I kind of agree with that, but like somebody else said, it is because his name is Rio Ferdinand, but he is an alright businessman. I guess he kind of did build it from the ground up, but I can see it working out with, for the long term, it'll be a good option. And I think he's in contact with Jadon Sancho, so that could be one step towards getting him.
Hey, I tell you what, if it guarantees a player like Jadon Sancho's coming to Man United,
That was the point I was making. I think he has more of a connection with the up-and-coming players a lot of the time. He has more of a feel for them compared to the likes of Gary Neville, and that understands them a bit more. Maybe Ed Woodward's move is to have him alongside Mike Phelan, or, you know, bring in someone like Paul Mitchell, who's worked at Leipzig and other clubs across Europe. Maybe that's the idea. I personally, I'd be happy with that. You know, have two people around that role, sort of what Ajax have done. Let's just hope we make the right decisions in the coming month.
Keith, totally appreciate your call, mate. 0345 111 625 if you want to get in touch with the XS Manchester Football Social full-time Devils takeover tonight. We're on till 8 o'clock. Matt's on the phone. Matt, your thoughts on the director of football situation, mate? Would you be happy with Rio? Would you want someone else in?
Hiya, Cass. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I think that would be, like an issue then saying, to have someone like Rio Ferdinand come in. Obviously, like a legend of the club, been there, done the paperwork, should I say. And obviously with how our position has been all season, like last week against Chelsea. I mean, you would think, in all honest opinion, something has to change between now and the end of the season, and I think Rio Ferdinand would be the perfect choice to work a lot, you know, to get there, to work behind the scenes with Solskjaer to try and get us back to where we should be, sort of thing.
Okay. When it comes to transfers, though, because it has been billed that Rio's job would be purely transfer related. What I put to Sue before, I said, what does Rio know about transfers that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't?
I mean, when you look at some of our players that brought in, such as, I would say like the ones like obviously, look at Lukaku. I mean, he hasn't, since we brought him in from Everton, obviously, I don't think probably he hasn't found his proper form, sort of thing.
I know what you're saying, mate. Yeah, some of the transfers we've made recently maybe haven't worked out. Matt, really do appreciate your call. 0345 111 7625 is the number to call if you want to get involved with the Football Social tonight. We've got Charles on the phone. Charles, what are you making of the director of football situation at United now, mate?
How you guys doing?
Yeah, good, man. Good to have you on the show.
So what I think about the Rio situation is, like, Rio was a world-class defender. Mm. Way before anyone knew what world-class defenders... way before anyone knew what world-class defenders were, Rio Ferdinand came in and kind of changed the mold. So when you think about that, I mean, it's kind of easy to say that you don't think Rio is, like, smart enough, or he doesn't speak like he's smart enough. But, I mean, what does Van der Sar know about running a club? What does Overmars know?
I think
about
he studied something along business, just to say, about Van der Sar before he actually took the role.
For a few years.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Overmars, though, it's a good point.
Yeah, what I mean is, it's about having the knowledge of a club and having the knowledge of football. And that's what someone like Rio Ferdinand brings. Because when you think about it, all of these people that we've hired, from Van Gaal to Mourinho, these managers talk a good game. And we have a lot of people at the club that talk a good game. But not a lot of people are putting into action. So why not try something different? Why not try a Rio Ferdinand who goes on Sky Sports every day and shows the passion he has for the club and has all these connects? That's one point I wanted to make. But the other point I wanted to make was about Ander Herrera, if you guys let me.
Yeah, Charles, tell us.
So one thing I've been noticing a lot of the United fans always talking about Paul Pogba, and always talking about how we don't have a lot of leaders in the team. Hmm. And then you look at Ander Herrera coming in, after all of these games being missing, he comes in and we had a better game against Chelsea. And I think the reason we had a better game against Chelsea is because Ander Herrera brings the balance that Paul Pogba needs in the club. Everyone talks about Paul Pogba being a world-class player. He is one, but without Vidal next to Paul Pogba, who was doing all of Paul Pogba's tracking back, Paul Pogba wouldn't have been the Paul Pogba that we know today. Like, you think about, Ander Herrera has been under three different managers now. All of them never treated him with the respect that he deserved. But after a couple of games when we started losing, you bring Ander Herrera in and suddenly we start winning. There's no coincidence to that. So people are saying to me now, oh, he's not worth 200,000. But who's won more for the club than Ander Herrera in the time that Ander Herrera has been there?
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Pogba's not won as many trophies as Ander Herrera.
I think it's also important what you say then about the way Ander Herrera complements Paul Pogba's abilities. I totally agree with that, Charles. Sue, what do you think of that point there about Ander Herrera?
Well, we talked about Herrera a couple of weeks ago when I was in, and I mean, I was saying I quite like him and I think he's really passionate. And Webby said to me, well, we're all passionate. I'm passionate. You're passionate. He's not good enough. They just didn't seem to think Herrera was good enough. And I don't think he is. Pogba's another story, isn't he? But I don't like him. And I just think he's not. We all thought he was going to be captain at one point, didn't we? Because he was playing really well. But I just don't rate him. And
I personally look at it like this. With Ander Herrera, our best games under every single manager, Louis van Gaal in the FA Cup run, in Europa League under Jose Mourinho, whenever Ander Herrera has been brought back into the side, he's done brilliantly. And we've played a lot better in midfield. With Ander Herrera, it's a bit of a weird one because people sort of don't understand his role. You know, he when you look at the numbers, a lot of people don't like looking at the numbers, but those numbers are what clubs look at a lot when they sign those players, and that's why Paris have looked at him. His interceptions were higher than Kante when he had his best season for Chelsea, and that was big part. That was a big part of his games. You look at the forward passes he was playing to Marcus Rashford in that Chelsea game when we beat them, after defending brilliantly against Eden Hazard, and he so many examples that you can bring up with Ander Herrera in the Europa League final, leading in that middle of the pitch, telling Mkhitaryan to get in the box. My issue is there's about 10-15 players in that squad that shouldn't be anywhere near him. Instantly, the other day, in that game against Chelsea, on the turn, he was a lot quicker than everyone else. He was sort of ushering, telling Matic what to do. I think the issue last summer was we never replaced Matic. Matic should have been replaced within a season. He's way too slow in progressing the ball. I think buying Fred was also wrong last summer. I do like Fred. I think he can be a good player. Just give him a bit of time. He needs to adapt to the league. The issue is I would have personally gone for Rabiot, someone who progresses the ball and he's defensively sound, you'd say. And unfortunately, I think we never replaced Matic, someone to complement both Herrera and Pogba last summer. And I fully understand Herrera going now. He's not been trusted by free will. Ollie has trusted him. Whenever he's fit, he's actually played him and he's done well for us. And our best run has sort of come with Herrera. The issue is, again, I think he's coming toward the end of his contract. United have never didn't nail down his contract last summer. So why doesn't he take a big contract at Paris before his career ends? Go on, lad, take it. Yeah. I can't blame him.
But he's not a consistent player, is he?
Go on,
Sue. I don't think he's consistent enough.
You don't think he's consistent enough?
No, I don't think so.
Charles,
no.
what do you make to that? We still got you on the phone.
I would say one last thing, if that's all right.
Yeah.
We didn't buy Ander Herrera because he was a terrible player that wasn't consistent. We bought Ander Herrera because he bullied Schweinsteiger. He bullied Schneiderlin when he played against us for Atletico Bilbao. But no one remembers that. That's the last point I'd give. It's not that Ander Herrera is not a quality player. It's that people haven't played. He came as a number 10. And the same way Anderson did when he came as an attacking player, he got turned into a different type of player. And he still played really well for us.
Yeah,
but the management around him hasn't been good enough.
Charles, some really interesting points. Make sure you give us a call again in the next few weeks, mate.
Will do, lads. I've enjoyed the rest of your day.
Nice one, pal. 0345 111 7625. This is the XS Manchester Football Social. Full-time Devils takeover. Right, on the way, we're going to be talking about celebrating against your own your old club and also United's Player of the Year contenders. I mean, if you'd even call them contenders at this point. We're going to be talking about that. And as well, I've got a little bit of a game surrounding some YouTube comments about our Player of the Year contenders. That's all on the way on XS Manchester.
Manchester Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
It is XS Manchester, it is the Football Social, and this is the Full-Time Devils Takeover on a Thursday evening, 7 till 8pm. My name's Gaz, I'm your host tonight. Abdul's in the studio with me. Hello, Abdul.
Hi, mate, you alright?
Sue's here too. Sue, hello.
Hi, Gaz.
Let's turn your mic all the way up this time. and before we go to the next bit, we're going to be talking about Player of the Year contenders in a sec. But first, I've come up with this game because we recently had a video on Full-Time Devils discussing who United's Player of the Year will be. What I'm going to do now, guys, is I'm going to read you three comments from that video, all of which are about one player in particular. You just need to tell me which player it's
nice.
About. Easy as that, right?
Yeah, okay. Sounds easy.
Okay, then. Let's start the game. You say it sounds easy.
It sounds easy.
Let's see how you do first, Sue. Right, so this first one is a comment from Thomas Platts. He says, my player of the year would be... I so want you to give him a new contract. He made a big difference against Chelsea and is a big player in midfield.
Mata.
Sue straight in there with a guess for Mata.
Nope.
Abdul, what are you going for?
I'm going Ander Herrera.
Okay, so Sue, you went for Mata. Yeah. Sorry, Sue.
Am I wrong?
Ander Herrera, though. Bang on, Abdul. 1-0 to Abdul. In the YouTube comments game, you can tell I spent ages on this, can't you? Okay, this next one. Who should be United's Player of the Year? This is a comment from Ryle06. He says, I think it should be... He played his heart out. I remember how he unlocked the match when we played against Crystal Palace. Perfect attitude, in my opinion. Sue, you went first last time. Abdul, you've got to go first this time.
Against Crystal Palace.
Someone who plays their heart out with a perfect attitude. Who we reckon?
Oh, no way, it's him. I'm thinking it can't be Lukaku because he had a brilliant game against Palace, but it can't be him. I'm just going to go Luke Shaw, maybe. I don't know.
Luke Shaw,
yeah.
Luke Shaw's your guess. Sue, what are you saying?
But none of them played the heart out, did they? That's the trouble.
Against Crystal Palace, I think they did.
Yeah, they were all right against Palace.
I'm going to go with him, Luke Shaw.
Okay.
Because I think, yeah, you know what? Luke Shaw tries all the time, yeah. I think.
Plus, he's a contender, isn't he, for it?
Yeah. So he is a contender.
Everyone's tweeting about him.
Sorry, I'm going to go with Luke Shaw with him.
Yeah. Okay. You're both going to go Luke Shaw. Bang on, correct. Luke Shaw, right. It's 2-1 to Abdul then at the minute. Yeah. We'll do another one. This is a comment from Prince Fresh. He says, I'll go for an outsider in... I think he's done brilliant in his first season. Coming in so young with only a few senior games and making a great impact. Okay, Sue, we'll go with you first.
It's got to be Dallow,
you're going to say Dallow. Yeah. Are you going to say Abdullah? You're
going to
say Dallow as well. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You're both absolutely bang on. Should we do one more before we move on?
Yeah.
Do one more.
Go on then, one more.
Draw level.
This is a comment from Sam Powdell. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong there, if you're watching, Sam. He says, I think it should be... By his high standard, he has dropped down a level, but I still think he's our best player this year.
Ooh, I'm going to go Paul Pogba.
Paul Pogba for Abdul?
Yeah. No, is that, yeah, I was going to say Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about his standards thing that gave it away a bit, didn't it?
Yeah. You're both right. Right, well done. You got a clean house there. Full house there, Abdul. Yeah. Well done. Right, then, let's talk about player of the year then and on to who we think... It should be. Please do get your calls in 0345 111 7625 and discuss it with us. Abdul, who you saying, mate?
Oh, it's a hard one.
Or when I say player of the year, what when you start thinking, who are the names that instantly
jump? Victor Lindelof jumps at me. Yeah. Luke Shaw as well. And then Paul Pogba would have at one point. I'm just going to go Victor Lindelof. I think. Since that game at Juventus at home, which we lost, he was absolutely brilliant when they were countering us towards the end of that game against Douglas Costa, Ronaldo. And then I think that sort of gained confidence from then. And he's just been immense. He's been our best player, you know, week in, week out at times since then. So it's got to be Victor Lindelof. For me, Luke Shaw deserves a shout. He's had a lot of struggles over the years since that injury. And I think if we had a better fullback on the other side complimenting him and allowing him to go forward and have a bit more freedom, he has been hesitant at times. But I think once you build a defence around him, we'll see the best of Luke Shaw. And he's already matched his career assists that he had before United just within one season. So it does show that he has improved going forward this season. So Luke Shaw deserves an honourable shout, but Victor Lindelof has it for me.
I was going to say, should we get a top three from everyone then? Everyone in the studio and everyone on the phone.
Oh, top three,
Who would your top three be? You've got Lindelof at number one, Shaw at two.
I'm going to have to give it Pogba for that period under Ali. I'll have to give it Pogba. He was too good in that
period. He was unplayable in that period, but it was a short period. Yeah. Sue, who's your top three then? Player of the year for United this season? I know it's a difficult question.
That's the thing, right? You're thinking that. You know, you should have like five or six players that you can pick from.
Yeah.
I'm doing Luke Shaw because I think he puts 110% in every time and he tries. And he's had some really good games. So I'm going Luke Shaw.
Hmm.
Lindelof.
Yeah.
And my third, I can't say Pogba, but I'm not really sure who else it would be, to be honest. I don't think I've got a third.
He got quite a few goals and assists this year, at the very least, Paul Pogba.
I know, but
so surely
it's really disappointing, isn't it? That's the thing. He's letting us down because he'll play good against Cardiff and then I can't go with Pogba, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I don't know who else.
Okay.
Dallow for effort.
Decent shout. Dallow.
Dallow
in third place. Yeah. We've got Mike on the phone, 0345 111 7625, if you want to get in touch with the Excess Manchester Football Social tonight. Mike, who would your top three Player of the Year contenders be for United this year?
Personally, first of all, I wanted to say hi to all you guys. Hope you guys are all right.
Hello, Mike.
Thanks.
Good to have you on.
For me, personally... I think Pogba has been our player of the season.
Okay.
I think a lot on that particular subject, I think a lot of football fans have a short memory. You know, this was someone who didn't have a pre-season, having come back from playing the maximum amount of time that he could spend
in an international tournament. Obviously, France won the World Cup. And he didn't have a pre-season. He came back, first game of the season. He was our best player, having had no pre-season. And he kept Jose Mourinho in the job longer than he should have been in that job, especially when you consider all the rumours that were coming out. I think it was the Newcastle game, and Jose Mourinho lasted at least another month, and that was mainly down to Paul Pogba. So I feel like a lot of fans, because of the fact that they've seen such an upturn in performance during Solskjaer's reign, they forget what Pogba was doing under Jose Mourinho. Granted, he did have a couple of stinkers, but Lindelof and Shaw, who I think a lot of people have mentioned for the running for the award, none of them played in terms of their position to the level that Pogba did. Pogba carried Manchester United during the period of Jose Mourinho. So for me, it'll be Pogba, and then I'll probably be a toss-up in the other two slots, probably between Lindelof and Shaw, yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? I think it is sort of slightly an effect of this. I think that Lindelof and Luke Shaw are probably, at the minute, like 7-8 out of 10 players who have maybe had a level above where they're actually at this season. And Paul Pogba was a 9 out of 10 player, 10 out of 10 player, who's had a few levels below where he's usually at. But does that not make it even more frustrating with Paul Pogba, Mike? Because I understand where you're coming from, saying he's our player of the year. I understand considering him our best player this year, but he's still been nowhere near good enough, has he?
Pogba can do a lot more. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Pogba. I am not one to say that I'm going to absolve him of the blame completely. He can do a lot more. I mean, even me, as one of his biggest fans, I can point out a couple of games where he's had stinkers. You know, Southampton away, Juventus away in the Champions League. You know, like, he was poor. PSG at home, he could have done better, you know. So he can do better, yes. But again, in my opinion, like, I thought even the likes of Shaw, his ratings for his performances, for me, have been inflated. I think at times he's actually been very, very average. I think sometimes he's actually lazy defensively, and as a result, he picks up a lot of bookings because he doesn't want to get close to the winger. He'd rather give them 5 yards of space to get across him and not risk getting beaten, you know. And I feel like, for me, if Manchester United actually want to get back to the levels that they were at, a top club would probably have Luke Shaw, the way he is right now, as backup. Because I don't think Luke Shaw has progressed anywhere near we thought he would when we first signed him. But that's just my personal opinion.
I mean, in Luke Shaw's defence, he did, of course, have that injury, you know, halfway through his time at United.
Of course. And the last point I wanted to make, without taking too much of you guys' time, I came on here last week, and I made a point about Solskjaer, and I made a point also about Pogba, because I've heard people, I was listening to one interview on you guys' channel last week, and someone was saying that Pogba was a virus and whatnot. You know, I couldn't believe it. But I also made a point that Solskjaer isn't up to the job, and I think what we saw against Chelsea last week is another example that backs up my point. Now, David De Gea should not have played that game last week. He should not have played. But for me, and this is what for me is a glaring flaw in Solskjaer's character and why I don't think he's fit for a role in a club as big as Manchester United, he didn't have the balls to say, you know what, David De Gea, sit these final three games out of the season. Man United still had a touching chance of being in the top four last week. And now we're relying on snookers. And I heard Gary Neville say that, you know, if you drop David De Gea, you lose him forever. What kind of nonsense is that? That's basically saying that he can't be held accountable for poor performances. Don't get me wrong, I'm not discrediting what he did in all of those years before, but Manchester United have 3 games left this season. We're not in January. We are in April, May. Well, we have 3 games left.
I think that's why he played. I think if it was the middle of the season, I think Romero would have got a game. I think with it being towards the end of the season and being at game against Chelsea, it would have looked so bad for Solskjaer to throw Romero in and him make a mistake.
Okay. So hear it from my angle, guys, because I hear your point completely, and I understand why you say that. My point is, Manchester United still had a touching chance. No, a decent chance, because if we beat Chelsea last week, we have Huddersfield and Cardiff, and we would have taken points off a direct rival. David De Gea plays in goal. David De Gea's mistakes are costing Manchester United goals, and those goals that we are conceding are costing us vital points. Do you understand? Yeah. A manager, for me, with balls, would have said, David De Gea, you know what? Because people make this claim that it would affect his confidence. We have 3 games left. He would have had the whole summer and even extra time off to reset mentally and make his decision on whether he wants to stay at Man United or not and come back refreshed. Do you understand? And we've got a more than capable goalkeeper in Romero who could have filled in for him. And Solskjaer but didn't have the authority to say, you know what, David Hayer, don't play. And as a result, it's cost us top four. Do you understand? I could not understand why he was playing. He's made errors directly leading to goals against Man City. He's done it against Barcelona, you know. And like I said, three games, what harm would it have done? It wouldn't have done any harm, but that's my opinion on it personally.
Do you know what, Mike? I actually agree with you. We talked about this before the show, and I said, didn't say to you guys, we should have dropped De Gea just to tell him to go away, sort his head out, see where he's at, and put Romero in, because I think Romero is probably one of the best substitute goalkeepers in the Premier League at the minute.
I agree, it's strikers
that have lost the confidence. They drop them for a little while just till they can build the confidence back up. And I do think that's what they should have done with De Gea. His confidence has gone. But can I just ask you, did you want them to... did you want Ollie to get the job when he first came in as caretaker manager?
First and foremost, I think Manchester United should have waited until the end of the season to make a decision. It's not about the announcement, it's about the decision. Because we are basing it off a run of form. That is why Ollie has got the job. So I look at it from this, and I mentioned this last week. Ollie, I think, won 10 out of 11 games. Majority of Man United fans said, Ollie for the job. Ollie has now won 2 from his last 10. There's nothing wrong with anybody saying Ollie isn't fit for the job. That's the way I look at it. For me, Manchester United have said yes to Ollie and no to a manager in Pochettino who has far more of a resume, who has...
He's lost 12 games in the league this season. No team that's ever finished in the top four has lost 12 games in the Premier League season. I agree with you, but it's just an angle you need to look at it in a similar way. It's like with the goalkeepers, Pep Guardiola, Klopp have all dropped... goalkeepers before, way too late. Mignolet made 2-3 mistakes before, you know, Klopp had. Pep Guardiola went on game after game after game before putting Caballero over Bravo. I do understand your point, and De Gea should have been dropped in that. I just think, feel like there's a bit of a over-criticism where Ollie's just been thrown into the deep end. I agree with you, even though I wasn't with it. We should have waited until the end of the season. I just think sacking him in the summer is just going to get Ed Woodward out of it again. If everything was structured above Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and signings were already being made from now and there was a clear plan in place, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's performances and his players' performances on the pitch would have looked better. And I think Ed Woodward just can't get out of this one this time. And if he sacks him in the summer, we're just going back in the same cycle.
That's a fair point to make. I don't want to take too much of you guys' time. But you made a point about Pochettino's Tottenham losing 12 games in the season.
Yeah.
They've lost 12 games and they are still above Man United and in a far better position in getting top four. Also, his team are in the Champions League semi-final, having spent zilch this season. Zilch. They've spent nothing. Do you understand?
It is impressive.
Are a far better coached team than Man United, whether we were under Jose Mourinho or under Ole Solskjaer. Ole Solskjaer had a blueprint that he implemented that you could tell that maybe the players weren't accustomed to, but Ole Solskjaer still decides to play Ashley Young. I don't see why Man United fans don't.
I think there's a lot of us who aren't happy with the Ashley Young thing, to be honest. But
what excuse does Ollie have for still playing Ashley Young up until now? What excuse does he have for not playing Damian, who is an experienced international defender?
I agree with you on that.
I tell you what, 100%. we need Mike grilling Ollie. Next time we lose a game, let's just get Mike grilling Ollie, and I think it might be all right.
No, he makes valid points.
Yeah, Mike, you make really good points, and it's good to have you on the show, mate, because it gives us a different opinion and a different side of things.
Look, don't get me wrong. I love Ollie. You know, Ollie brought a lot of joy to every Man United fan. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But we have to be real here. And I feel like a lot of Man United fans allow sentiment to sort of blind them from the flaws that he actually shows and exhibits day to day in his management of Manchester United.
Okay, Mike. You've told us about loads of them, but we really appreciate you calling. We just got to go at the minute. 0345 111 765. Sorry to cut you off there, mate. Let's head over to Osman on the phones now. Osman, what's the point you want to make, mate?
I just want to say you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, pal.
Thanks, mate.
No problem. Listen, I just want to talk about this obsession with the fans regarding like appointing previous players such as Rio Ferdinand. They don't have the experience. Gary Neville doesn't have the experience to recruit players because the job they all like. You guys want to give Rio Ferdinand and Gary Neville. We already gave a job to Ole because of he used to be a previous player of Man United. We didn't know if he was after the like after the first couple of games he done a good job, but we didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Who would your shout be for director of football then, Osman?
We should go to like Ajax. Have you seen the system of Ajax players?
Yes.
The way they recruit, the way they Ajax. We should go to the small clubs like Monaco. Monaco was doing great, getting good players at the beginning of their career from Lyon, PSG, with potential. But we don't have that because we want Rio Ferdinand because he had good history with Man United and Gary Neville had a good history with Man United. That's why we appointed Oli because the fans said, oh, it's Oli, we need to appoint
Oli. I think we appointed Oli because we won like 12 games out of 12, didn't we, mate?
Yeah, no. Because you could win 12 games. Have you seen the 12 games we won?
Jose Mourinho wasn't winning them.
But we're not talking about Jose Mourinho, are we?
No.
The problem is, he was better than Jose Mourinho, but a lot of coaches would have been... I would have done a better job than Jose Mourinho was being with those players. They didn't want to play for him.
Osman, really appreciate your call, mate. 0345 111 7625. Get involved with the football social tonight. What are your thoughts then from Osman about Jose?
I want to speak about the earlier, was it Mike that we had on?
Yeah.
It was a brilliant phone call because he made some good points.
Sorry, I had to cut you off, Mike.
Yeah, it was a good conversation, so we might need to get him on a longer show
next time.
So of course, a lot of conflicting opinions. But he almost made a point that supports Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when he talked about being accustomed to his style. And I think from what I've heard from within the first 2 days of Ole getting the job is in training, the football was a lot faster. The other thing was he wanted them to play aggressive football, winning the ball back and having the front three players staying further up the pitch and staying on the counter. And that was a style, almost sort of what Liverpool were doing and what the best teams in Europe do. The issue is these players aren't accustomed to playing a full season like that. You look at them pulling up with injuries, similar to when Jurgen Klopp started at Liverpool. He didn't have the best of starts because of the same thing. He couldn't implement what he wanted. You look at Liverpool, Jordan Henderson, Milner are performing better in the midfield than majority of our midfielders because they're accustomed to what's needed. The best teams in Europe, forget the tactics and forget the ability of some of the players in Europe. The best teams, even if you look at City with the money they spent, you win the ball back quick in midfield and you keep control of the game. Unfortunately, these players were lazy under Jose Mourinho. At the same time, Jose Mourinho slowed them down. His style was different.
Yeah.
And I think it's had a bit of a sort of weird feeling with the players where they're still accustomed to Jose Mourinho and they can't handle playing that press in midfield. They're not on that level. And then loads of those players need to be replaced in the summer.
It's a fitness problem then. Fitness problem.
Definitely. Matic, he hasn't got in him to play in a modern midfield three.
No.
And I think that's a problem that we've currently got with the likes of Matic in that team. Whereas Herrera can, if he has someone alongside him. And Paul Pogba can, if he's... Like at Juventus, he had Vidal, Pirlo, Marquinhos, who can complement Herrera. So again, it's about finding the right replacements around the Pogba and Herrera instead of someone like Matic.
So, do you think Man United are unfair at the minute?
Well, I'd like to think they're not unfit, but I agree with everything Abdul says in that, don't forget, under Mourinho and Van Gaal, the football was really negative, wasn't it? Whereas now, it's faster because that's the way Ollie's used to playing. So, whether they're unfit, I'd like to think they're not unfit if they're doing all the training. Yeah. I think it just could be psychological as well, that they're so used to stepping back and not pushing forward.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know whether it was Arsenal. It wasn't Arsenal. When we had Mourinho, last year we played Arsenal at Old Trafford when we drew. And I remember sitting there just trying to say, come on, just push. They won't push forward because they've been told to stay back. And I think that's just instilled in them. But surely
the styles had an effect on them. Van Gaal, Mourinho.
You think all them since they've been there, they've been used to playing defensive.
That's why I think it's time to bring fresh blood in, not just going out in Europe and buying players left, right, and centre, but blooding some of those youth players because some of them are brilliant and they are capable of playing that press and they're still young, so I'd bring them through.
0345 111 7625 if you want to get in touch with the show tonight, or you can drop us a text 87711. On the way next, we are going to be looking ahead to the weekend, obviously, playing Huddersfield on Sunday. In fact, actually, before we do that, I should actually just check the league table 1 second, just see how possible top four is. Hang on, one minute.
I don't think it is.
Oh,
Manchester United Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester Football Social.
Hey, so here's what happened then. I pressed the button to go to a break, and the break didn't play. So we're back on the XS Manchester Football Social. Let's look ahead to the weekend, guys. We can do it. They're all running about outside. I don't know why. It's no drama. We're all professionals, you know. Right, so here's the situation. Two games left. We're in sixth place with 3 points off the top four with what is essentially an unreachable goal difference at this point. Is it possible, Abdul?
No. I can't see it happening. You know what? The only glimmer of hope, the only glimmer of hope is the fact that Chelsea play Watford and Leicester. And they play, I think, Leicester away.
Well, here it is. We've got Huddersfield, Cardiff. Chelsea have Watford, Leicester.
That's why if we beat Chelsea, I think we would have made top four. Yeah.
And Arsenal still have Brighton and Burnley away as well, which is a tough one. Sue, do you think it's possible?
No, before the Chelsea game. No, I know, very negative. I'm a positive third person, me, Gaz, but at the minute, no, it's before Chelsea. If we'd have beaten, we'd have won them, I'd have said, yeah, we're going to do it. But we're just not going to do it, and we're relying on other teams. I mean, nobody wants to finish fourth, do they? Look at Arsenal's results.
It was ours for the taking,
and we've blew it, basically. And as I say, if we'd have had Romero in at the Chelsea game, then it might have been a different story.
Yeah, well, I said exactly that last week. I said it seems like no one wants top four. We should just all give it to Wolves, I think.
Well, they're very deserving.
Anonymous caller on the phones right now on the XS Manchester Football Social. What's your name there, mate? Hello? Okay, I don't think he's there, but we do have Mohammed on line one. Mohammed, you give us a call on 0345 111 7625. What do you want to chat to us about today, mate?
Basically, I just want to chat about David De Gea.
Okay, great. Let's get into it.
Like, last week, I came on the show and I said, you know what, he's given us 6 years of good service since Ferguson left. He's been our most consistent player. The amount of saves that he's made that won us games, and the amount of points we've won because of him. But you know what? I've had enough now. I want him out of my club. And that's all I've got to say. I'm fed up with this guy. Mistakes after mistakes.
Whoa, sorry.
He's like a striker. You know, when a striker plays good games, yeah, he has a bad patch. And he's going through a patch. And he's cost us top four. He's cost us, God knows how many amounts of, you know, millions that Man United are going to lose. That money could have been used for signings. But you know what? I want David De Gea. I want Mata out that club, and Herrera, I'm disappointed he's got to go.
Well, Mohammed, I'm sorry, man. That was a massive gear change then. I didn't see that one coming. Right, so let's unpack this. David De Gea needs to leave the club because he's cost the club loads of money because we've not got Champions League this season, right?
Absolutely. Look at the deal for Adidas. If we, Man United don't make top four, they're going to lose a lot of percent of for the Adidas fees, their sponsor fees every single year.
Mohammed,
I mean,
do you not think that putting it all on this one mistake by David De Gea in one game, putting our whole season on that, is quite simplistic?
Ashley Young would have cost us like 100 million by now.
Last week I rang up and I said, you know what? Phil Jones would get sanctioned. But you know what? Something needs to happen to him. And Matic, I didn't get a chance to finish last week, but Matic, like, I couldn't believe Matic was beaten by Bernard for a header. Matic, who's 6'4", Bernard is 5'4", 5'2", God knows how small he is. But, like, some of these players, they need to get gone. And I'm sorry, I'm Fred. I want to see him gone as well. I don't even think he's a Brazilian. He's a fake.
Mohammed, do you actually like anybody at the club at the minute?
It's not about liking, because to be honest, a lot of ex-pundits or ex-players, I mean, or pundits are all putting the blame on Pogba. But you know what? It's not Pogba. Like, he's one of our most consistent players. Look at how much he's done since Solskjaer came in. Herrera, he's another player, right? He's humble. I really like him. He gives it his all. He might not be the best player on that team, but he puts his heart into the club, and it's a disappointment. Phil Jones, Ashley Young, all these people getting contracts, and this is one of our, like, he puts everything into the club, and this is what we've done to him. We've just not even offered him a new contract. He only wants, an extra 30 grand, but we can pay Sanchez an extra 400 grand a week. It doesn't make sense. This club would out as well. I want him gone as well.
I think he's probably the most important.
Delete the club
there, but Mohammed, appreciate your call, mate. 0345 111 7625. Get in touch with the XS Manchester Football Social anytime you want. We have Tyrone on the phone as well. Tyrone, welcome to the show. Tyrone on the phone. I don't think Tyrone wants to speak to us. Okay, we'll hopefully get him on next. But what did you guys make of Mohammed then? His point about David De Gea. Maybe he's still just on a bit of post-traumatic stress from the Chelsea game.
I've just done a video last night with someone on YouTube in regards to David De Gea's situation and sort of broke down the options, what players he can buy. Does he deserve to be dropped? All of that. Personally, with David De Gea, I mean, Mohammed's gone on there about selling him straight away. The issue that I find with selling David De Gea, it might be the right time to cash in on him if you re-sign his contract, because PSG and Juventus will spend that money and will pay his contract. Unlike the likes of Ashley Young, Phil Jones, and whoever that is, whoever else, teams aren't willing to pay their contract. So you will, even if you re-sign his contract and a high one, the big teams in Europe will pay his contract. The issue is, what's the point of having David De Gea if we're not building our defence in front of him? It's damaging his reputation. It's damaging Manchester United. It's not working both ways. And that's my issue with David De Gea. And we've been hearing that he's wanted assurances in terms of signings and all that. How is he going to be confident commanding his box and coming out to collect the ball? The thing is, David De Gea does lack in his game in terms of starting us on counter-attacks. With the ball at his feet, it is something that I've dug him out for at times. The thing is, I sort of blame the defence ahead of him, because how is he going to trust giving the ball to Chris Smalling, receiving it back? It's so unfortunate that after this bad run of form, a lot of people have turned on him. I say you drop him, like we've been saying here. Don't say, you know, just cash in on him and sell him like that. I mean, there are logical ways of doing it if he's not happy to stay. But like I said, you can't just, you know, go on about selling him like he's Phil Jones.
A bit harsh on De Gea, to be honest. He was there. Yeah, he's having a bad time. And that's the only reason I wanted him dropped. Not because of the, oh, you dropped your rubbish, off you go. He just needs to try and sort his head out. I'd keep him. I'd keep De Gea. I wouldn't sell him. I think Mohammed was harsh, as I said, but I just think he's just having a bad time, and we've got a lot to thank him for.
And we do. And off the back of this season, I'll be honest, I don't think we'd get an awful lot for him, but I do still think he's a brilliant...
I think if we re-sign his contract, he'd get over 100 mil for him off Paris or Juventus. If that does happen, I'd personally replace him with Onana from Ajax. He's a brilliant all-rounded goalkeeper. That's a different story, though.
But the thing is, it's a different story if we were to sell him for however much we sell him for, whether we actually invest that that money properly. Because yeah, knowing United, worry. We won't. We'd sell him for
We recalled Dean Henderson instead of allowing him that season in the Premier League that he needs, which will be typical of us because he does need that one more year.
It really would be typical of us. We've got Adnan on the phone. Adnan, welcome to the Football Social. What points do you want to make, pal?
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Hello, mate. Is your name Adnan?
Yeah.
Great name. Go on then. What points do you want to make, mate?
I just want to talk about the last two games of the season, first of all. I'll be honest, top four is very, very unlikely. We're looking at a miracle to get that. But we've got the last two games. Let's put some of the young blood in there. You know, I want to see Greenwood start, get Ethan Laird out right back. I'm tired of seeing Ashley Young's name on that team sheet, you know. Let's just go out, get some players in that you know are going to work. We've been lacking work rate, and like the young lads, no matter what they do, they always give 100% for the shirt, and something we'll be missing, so I'd like to see that.
Okay, yeah, I get what you're saying. So which players have you been thinking of then, players with a high work rate?
So obviously, out of the three, Mason Greenwood has to start because I heard Rashford was out with a nick and then maybe Lukaku or something good, so there is an opportunity to play him up front. And then I don't want to see Ashley Young there. I just don't want to see Ashley Young in the team. So please, God, no Ashley Young, all right?
Yeah.
Let's get him Ethan Laird in.
And then it's a good...
We've got to get Ethan...
Go on, who are you shouting there? What's that? I'm not that's
Ethan Laird,
Ethan Laird, great. I've been watching under 18 and stuff, and he's been really good to them.
Yeah, so he's been brilliant.
It's the end of the season. Let's reward those players, the young players, that played well this season, and let's give them a chance.
Yeah, I'm all for that, especially if we get to the point where, I mean, we've got two games now left to go, but if top four is out the equation after the Huddersfield game, I'd like to just see us play all the youngsters, to be honest.
I want to see Jimmy Garner and Greenwood. They're about both number ones because Jimmy is a brilliant midfielder and at the same time, Mason Greenwood, how can you not play him? I've never in my lifetime watched any player. I've watched Ravel Morris at the top of his game at that level, never watched anyone do it like Mason Greenwood has, and I think it's time that he steps in that team.
Adnan, feel free to give us a call next week, mate.
Sure, will do, boys.
Good to have you on the Football Social. 0345 111 7625. Well, that's quite a nice sort of uplifting point to end tonight's show on. Because doing these shows towards the end of the season, it's hard to stay too positive with the state United are in. But Mason Greenwood, he's breaking records left, right, and centre. Like, this kid's only, is he 17 still?
Yeah, he's 17, 18.
He's just 18.
Either way, he's mint, so get him in that team. Doesn't matter.
Sue, have you seen much of Mason?
No, not really. I don't watch the youth team, if I'm honest. No, I've just obviously read about him on Twitter and what have you, but no, I've not seen much of him, but I've heard about him. Heard lots of people raving about him.
Breaking records left, right and centre.
But I think, put the youngsters out, but let's not forget, we are still in with a chance of top four, so we need to get 6 points from these two games. These are games that we should win, but you just never know. So really, put them in. But, we still need the 6 points, don't we?
The thing
I'd
is...
I'd like
with,
to finish the season on a high. Yeah. We don't want to finish, the last game of the season at Cardiff and then we're all disappointed. We want to go out on a high.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's why you need to get the right mix. I think Jimmy Garner genuinely improves our midfield. Yeah. And that's my thing, because he finds a forward pass. The other day, I went to watch him at Old Trafford for the 23s. And there was a brilliant goal. I don't know if you've seen it or not. The back heel off Nishan Burkhart. Yes. And it all started from Jimmy Garner spraying a Pogba-esque 70-yard pass across the pitch. It lands on Mason Greenwood. Does a couple of step-overs, gets in the box, Burkhart, then back heels it in. And just watching them do it every week. And Jimmy Garner, not once in that game, turned around and passed it to centre-half. So I was watching him all game, instantly on the turn, just like Busquets. And that's what we want to see in that team. And I think he instantly improves as a midfield because he looks forward, which Nemanja Matić doesn't do enough and he's too slow.
Matić just finished. He was finished last season, wasn't he? Yeah. That's the thing.
This is the thing. These players were finished last season, and it worries me that some of the players we're saying should be gone now this summer are probably going to get another year now.
When they said Jones and Ashley Young got extended contracts, I thought it was a joke. Someone's taking the mickey.
I think we would do. Let's look ahead to our game on Sunday then. We've got Huddersfield away. They've given us plenty of problems in the past, of course. Sue, what do we want to see from that game? Just a bit of intent from the lads, innit?
Yeah, bit lift up, try, positivity. Get the 3 points, basically. It's all right. I mean, they're already down, aren't they, Huddersfield? They are down, aren't they?
They down, they were down ages ago.
A few weeks ago. Down ages ago. Positive.
Probably why I forgot.
Yeah. Get some goals in. And yeah, maybe put a couple of the youngsters in. But we still need the seniority in the team because we've got to go for the 6 points. We need the 3 points. We need to finish on a high, not come away from there feeling, demotivated again.
Yeah.
You know, we've had such a high when he first came in and we're at that lull again. And I feel like we're all dead miserable again and we're calling United. I don't want to call my team because I'll support them no matter what. If we don't get Champions League, it doesn't matter. I'll be disappointed, but I don't want to sit here.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
Arsenal and end up like Arsenal TV. I don't want that.
No.
Let's finish on a high.
Yeah, I know. But every now and then it is okay to have a moan.
Well, it is okay to have a moan. We're entitled to have a moan.
We are Manx, after all.
I don't want to turn into Arsenal TV and, I'll still support them. Somebody said the other day they're not going to renew the season ticket because we've not got Champions League football.
Yeah, well, that's just...
I mean, that's, rubbish.
Yeah, that's silly.
Just bought it this season, maybe, and thought I'm not going again.
Right, well, that has been the XS Manchester Football Social full-time Devils Takeover. We do this every Thursday, 7 p.m. Before we go, actually, score predictions for Sunday. Abdul?
I'll go with a positive one. 3-0, yeah. Mason Greenwood gets one.
Yes! Go on, Sue, what are you saying?
I was going 2-0. I'm not that positive for more than 2 goals. 2-0, but definitely a win.
I'm going super positive. I'm going to say 4-0.
Why? 4-0, that's positive. What I think. Get them positive vibes down there.
I don't know. I feel like now that the players don't think they're going to get top four and the pressure's off a little bit and we'll probably just start playing brilliant for the next 2 days.
And then we'll make up the goal difference and we'll make top four with Chelsea slipping up at Leicester at the end of the season. That's exactly what's happening.
Right, on the way, it's the XS Manchester evening show tonight. It's a full album playback of the Stone Roses debut album for the 30-year anniversary of what is, for me, not just the finest debut album ever, but the finest album ever. So that's what you've got to look forward to. It's all on the way on XS. We'll see you next week at 7.
XS Manchester.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.